I give you thanks. Oh, thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. Oh, I am so blessed, and my soul has found rest. Let's give them thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back together again. We certainly thank the Lord for the wonderful meetings this last weekend and getting the new year started off right. And we trust that we closed it out right, put everything behind us, and we're pressing forward to the things that lay before us and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And we are in great expectation for Him to provide everything that we have need of. And we're excited. And we should be excited. As Brother John mentioned, there are several that have tested positive for COVID this week. So we certainly want to add our prayers to your prayers and our faith to your faith for a quick recovery. And, you know, this is just something that we're going to have to go through and get to the other side of. And probably eventually it'll be just like the flu. Hopefully it won't be just like the flu. Hopefully it'll go away. But if it doesn't, it'll this latest strain that they're experiencing in other parts of the country, not so much here yet, but is expected to become the predominant strain. They call it Omicron. You know, of course, they're using the Greek alphabet. I wonder what the Greeks use. They say O, or anyway, it sounds like it's more contagious than the previous one, and so since it is more contagious, it will most likely become the predominant strain. And that's what the flu does. It mutates, and, you know, they come up with a vaccine, and then it mutates, and so they come up with another vaccine, so on and so forth. But we will get through this, but we just want to remind you that if you're particularly susceptible, that you might want to take steps to protect yourself. And if you are in a household where others have tested positive, then for the sake of others, you should quarantine and test. And other than that, we're trusting the Lord no matter what. Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie Davenport, it's good to have you with us. Amen. Eddie's an old friend of ours, and we were together back in 95 till, I don't know, 99, 98, 99, and I think you moved to Oklahoma for a while, or went somewhere for a while, anyway, kind of lost track of one another, but he's back, so just make him welcome. So I want to jump right into a thought here tonight, because I'm still trying to lay a foundation for some other thoughts that I'm just dying to bring. But as much as I want to bring them, it will be much better if we lay the foundation and then let that be the icing on the cake. So we like to read from Matthew chapter 11. We'll start the 7th verse here tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Now, if we were to translate that into, our day, did you go out to see a guy in a tuxedo, a guy that was well-dressed, his hair was just right, he came from a nice organization, he's prim, he's proper, he's His diction is just right. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. See, today, you can wear soft clothing and not be in a king's house. But at that time, those that wore soft clothing were in king's houses. The upper class, fine suits, what have you. But what we ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Well, how can he be more than a prophet? Well, let's let him answer that question. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So he's not only a prophet, but he has a ministry where he's going to introduce to us the Lamb of God. He's going to prepare the way for his cousin. Well, that's what the religious world is going to say, right? Well, isn't that convenient? That's your cousin. You're going to introduce your cousin. He was born, you know, he's 6 months older than you. And isn't that convenient? See how people want to carnalize things? He wasn't his cousin. He was and he wasn't. He wasn't because he came from God. The very blood cell had nothing to do with his cousin. They didn't share the same genetics in the natural. His mother was cousins to Elizabeth, so that made them cousins in terms of, you know, the family relationship. But in terms of genetics, oh my. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So up until that point in time, he was the greatest prophet, not just prophet, because he was more than a prophet. He was also the friend of the bridegroom that was going to introduce the Lamb of God. I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, at that particular moment in time, there was nobody in the kingdom of heaven except for the Lord Jesus himself, right? The price hadn't been paid yet. He couldn't set the captive free. He hadn't paid the price to be able to annul your marriage to your first husband, to your first nature. The price of sin had not been paid. So he was setting the captive free, but he couldn't then bring you into the kingdom yet because the price hadn't been paid and his spirit hadn't been sent yet. But Jesus is preaching this, and this is going to be what he has to say is going to be true for the whole dispensation that's coming, for the kingdom of heaven that's just about to be ushered in. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, we've mentioned this before, but I just think it's real timely to just mention it again. Not because we want you to think higher of yourself than you ought to, but if John was the greatest in shoe leather up until that time, I mean, that's greater than Moses, that's greater than Joseph, that's greater than David, that's greater than Adam, that's greater than all up until that time, right? And he says, nevertheless, the least in the kingdom is greater than these. Then just how great is it to be born into this kingdom? This is not just some choice that you make or some decision or some, sure, I'll take two scoops. This is something much greater than that. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you'll receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world begun, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Just lift your hand. Father, as we bow our hearts before you this evening, we just want to thank you once again, Lord, for what you've done, for the Lord, the wonderful finishing, the capping off of 2021, the ushering in of 2022, and Lord, just the great revival time that we've had and continue to have, and we just ask for your blessings once again. We're here in this midweek service tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us. As already been said, Lord, many of us have worked and done different things and we're tired and maybe traveled a little bit of a distance, and we just pray that you'd help us to redeem this time that we have, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. And we know that it's not quantity that's important, it's quality. And Lord, your word is your anointed word. There's nothing that has greater quality than that. And Lord, we want to give you the opportunity to speak to our hearts and to quicken that word to each and every one of us, so that, Lord, we'll take something greater with us when we leave this building tonight. Father, minister to each and every need. Father, heal those that are sick. Bless those that are listening in tonight, Lord. And Father, bring us all back together for your honor and glory, we pray. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here tonight, The Revelation of the Mystery. The Revelation of the Mystery. So in Matthew chapter 13, as we've looked at in previous services, Jesus puts before us seven parables, and these parables are known as the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And he starts out each time, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, it's likened unto, it's likened unto. He gives a parable of the wheat and the tares, of the pearl of great price, of the hidden treasure, of the grain of mustard seed, and so on and so forth. And he's bringing forth these parables of the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven was being ushered in at that time, and the king of that kingdom was introducing that kingdom. So imagine, if you will, tonight for just a few moments, imagine that you were one of his disciples, or you were with the disciples at that particular time, and Jesus, and you're hearing of these mysteries as he's declaring them directly to each and every one at that time. The new kingdom was coming among men, and Jesus preached to them the good news of the kingdom. And we know that it's important for the word to be preached, that God has ordained his word to be preached. Amen. And to enter into this kingdom would require first coming out of an existing kingdom that you were trapped into by your first birth. Your first birth, when you came into this world, you were ushered into an existing kingdom, but you must come out of that kingdom first in order to then press into a new kingdom. You don't join this new kingdom. You don't sign up for it. You don't get drafted into it unbeknownst to you, but you must be baptized by one spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? You must be baptized into this kingdom by the Holy Ghost. And we know that you can't live in two kingdoms at the same time, because that would mean that you would be required to serve two masters. And Jesus told us that you can't serve two masters, because you'll love one and you'll hate the other. So to enter into this new kingdom, we must first make a choice, a harder choice, but the correct choice, one that you were actually predestinated to make. You still have to make the choice, but God knew what choice it was that you were going to make. And so we chose to come out from under the headship of the kingdom of the devil. Recall that when Adam fell, Adam forfeited his rights to heavenly places, that Adam was no longer the prince of the power of the air. Satan, he isn't the prince of the power of the air, but he's been He's been squatting in that position, or had been squatting in that position, until Jesus came and began to cast him down, and began to destroy the works of the devil, began to cast that kingdom down. And so we realize that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We came into this world serving another king. Whether we wanted to or not, it didn't matter. So, but in order to go into this new kingdom, we have to renounce our prior citizenship, and then we have to pledge allegiance to our new king. We come to the border of the old kingdom, and then Jesus delivers us from the kingdom of darkness, and we begin to walk in the kingdom of light. So it's not something that we take lightly, no pun intended, because it's an irreversible course. We can't go back. Thank God. If you've come into this new kingdom, there's no going back to the old kingdom. For us to renounce the kingdom that is governed by our first birth, it means that we die to our first citizenship. We die to that old nature. Our first husband, our first king is dead. And then we flee to safety in Christ. We press into the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, we know that we don't tarry for the Holy Ghost any longer. We know that they tarried, as we heard on Sunday night, that they tarried until the day of Pentecost. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, those that were believing, they received. Right? So we don't tarry in that sense that you're waiting for a particular time to come. But you do need to be in expectation. You do need to press. So it's not just, well, I made a decision and that's it. No, something will happen. You'll die out to one. You'll be quickened to another one. So we press into this kingdom of heaven. We press towards this light and we flee from the darkness. We've been set free from the darkness. We've escaped from the spiritual kingdom of this world. And we've escaped from the wrath that is to come upon it. And then we enter by force into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. So imagine, friends, being with Jesus when he stood among the people, as we've read about in Matthew chapter 13. Imagine hearing him as he's talking about this new kingdom. You see, he was bringing into the light things that were never fully illuminated or looked upon. They were in shadow form throughout the Old Testament, and no doubt prophets got it at some level or another. But as in general, these were things that were not plain. These were things that were not clear up until this moment in time. He was taking things from the book of Isaiah, and he was showing the disciples how those things that Isaiah spoke of, how they applied to what they were seeing that were taking place all around them at that particular time. And he spoke on these things, and the disciples heard them plainly. And here we are living in our day, this last age, and the same one that spoke to them is doing the very same thing for us that he did for them. He is he's taking his word once again in our day, and he's opening it to us, and he's shown us how it applies to our day. And as a result, we're enjoying a feast, a seven-course meal. There's a famine in the land, but the famine in the land is for the hearing of the word. The word is here. The word is being served. The word is being ministered. The word is being opened. But just as it was in Jesus' day, there were those that were starving, and yet the word was made flesh and dwelt among them. So this feast that we're partaking of, oh, friends, it encourages us tonight. And it comforts us. But it has also given us faith to rise up above the age that we're living in, rise up above the Laodicean spirit, and to be taken in a rapture. Amen. And we are going to be a part of the fulfillment of the rapture. Amen. And this is going from faith for something that we actually believe in to something that we will experience. You'll feel it. We won't go by feeling, but you'll feel it when you're in that new body. You'll experience it when your body's changed. So Jesus is not making this new kingdom complicated or mysterious. It was already a mystery. But he was revealing to them and to us the hidden things of God. And the mystery that had been hidden was now being made known. And the word was making these things known. So recall as we read in Matthew chapter 13, when the crowds came around Jesus, Jesus and his disciples were, Jesus was speaking very plainly to his disciples, but when the crowds came around, he began to speak in parables again. And Peter said to him, "Lord, why is it that you speak to them in parables?" And of course, Jesus' answer was, "Well, to them, it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to you, it is given to know these." So Peter was mystified first that Jesus would speak one way to him and to the other disciples. And then when the mixed multitude came around, he's speaking very plainly to them. But then the mixed multitudes came around and he began to speak in parables. He spoke then, you know, as a foreigner would, that was from another kingdom. It was as if he was speaking in another language. And no doubt the disciples first wanted to know, "Well, why do you speak unto them in parables, but you speak to us plainly?" And Jesus explains to them, he says, "Because it's given to you to know the hidden mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given to know these things." So Peter was probably thinking, you know, if we were to kind of look at it in terms of our day, he was probably thinking, you know, it's bad enough that they already think that we're a cult, you know, because of what we believe and because of how we dress and because of how we act and how we're following this guy around and he doesn't have an extra set of clothes and we don't know where we're going to be the next night and you can't plan these things out. We don't know how long the service is going to be, and, you know, but now here's our chance to explain to the rest of the people that we aren't a bunch of weirdos, as you think we are, and that we're not chasing after strange doctrines. Here's a chance for our preacher to explain this to everybody so that they can get it like we're getting it. Here's our chance for our new master to explain plainly to these others what it is that we've heard and what it is that we believe. And now Jesus is only making it worse, because now he's speaking in parables again. Now they'll know that we're weirdos. But Jesus was given to the church from the very beginning, from the onset, a key to the kingdom. And that key is that God speaks plainly to the citizens of his kingdom in due season. He is always right on time, and he's not the author of confusion. He will reveal his word to you as you have need of it in due season. He reveals himself in his word to every son and daughter of God that he baptizes and places into his kingdom. And if you are a son or daughter of God tonight, there's something in you that's actually calling out for him. I didn't say you were a born-again son or daughter of God. When you are born again of the Spirit, you come to the realization that you are a son or daughter of God, that you always have been a son or daughter of God, but you had to be quickened. Amen? But there's actually, friends, there's actually a literal thirst for God. Actually, there's a literal thirst for God in the soul of every mortal being. It's not just for some people to thirst for God. For we were created to seek after him. And we were created, there's a place that was created in us for him to dwell in. But a genuine seed of God cannot be satisfied with anything else other than God. He's the only one that will satisfy that thirst. And that seed in you is drawn towards the light. And that seed that's in you draws the light towards you. But to reach that light, it requires pressing first through the darkness. So a little crack starts to form in the shell that's around that seed as light passes over that seed and as the water of the Spirit begins to soften that shell and it begins to break open. And what is in the seed then begins to press outward as the seed is pressing towards the light. It's growing towards the light. It's moving towards the light. And that light is His Word made manifest. So we must see the supernatural. We must see the Word being made manifest. Because the Word made manifest is light. And God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. So the light is His Word made manifest. And His Word quickened to you tells you who you are. It tells you what you're here for. It tells you where you came from. It tells you where you're going. And it tells you what your true nature is and what your relationship is with God. And there's nothing, friends, that can stop that seed from pressing into that light. I'm not taking that struggle away. The struggle will be there, but there's nothing that's going to prevent that seed from pressing towards that light and then manifesting what is already in the seed. We don't preach something into the seed. We don't try to conform the seed. The seed must come in contact with that light, with that word, and it'll quicken it and it'll bring out what's already in it. So from that standpoint, friends, it doesn't matter how rotten your first life is. In fact, you've got to rot. You have to rot before that seed will begin to come forth. So all of us have a rotten past. There's not a good past and a bad past. We were all born in sin. So it doesn't matter how illegitimate your first birth was. Nothing can stop that quickened seed from moving towards that light. Nothing can keep that seed from being transformed into the image and the likeness of its maker. Because it's of that original seed. And it's of the new creation. So the mystery is no longer hidden from you when you're born again of the Spirit of God, but it becomes plain to you when the light of the hour strikes that word. Now, I know that that sounds like kind of big words and all that, but we'll try to bring it home here in just a moment. When the word that we've read or heard that's in God's word is brought out into the light, well, then we can plainly see what was previously a hidden mystery. And God, when God reveals it to you, and I'm talking about God revealing it to your soul, not your brain. Now, it's a good start. If your brain's fighting it, it'll never be revealed to your soul. But it's got to be revealed to your soul, faith. So notice the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. This was hidden from the church until Jesus stepped forward and began to shine light on that kingdom that was coming. And He's describing it to us. Now, friends, get this evening. Nobody could know of this kingdom until Jesus Himself revealed it. The Word has to reveal it. It was a mystery. And to those that He was sent to, the mystery of the kingdom was made known. To the others, it was a parable. To the others, they heard Him speak in parables, and it remained a mystery to them. And no doubt, because their eyes were darkened to it, and no doubt some say, well, I think it means this, or I think it means that. It means what He said. Amen. You see, God is the only one who can reveal to us the mystery of His will. And man probes at it constantly. Satan probes at it and comes up with all sorts of theories and all sorts of interpretations of God's word, which is His will for us. But God's ultimate revealing of His word, it comes to us when His word is made manifest by bringing it to pass, and then His Spirit quickens it to you personally. So when the word is made flesh, it's no longer a mystery to those that can see it. It's just as plain can be. It's not complicated. You don't need some fancy instructor. There's only one person that can explain this. Amen? The Word of God is interpreted by God Himself. And He interprets His Word by manifesting it or bringing it to pass. And then the revealing of it personally to the citizens of his kingdom. You know, let's take as an example the day of Pentecost. Jesus told them, go up and tarry ye in Jerusalem until you're endued with power up on high, right? Brother Branham dramatizes that for us, and he said, you know, no doubt Philip maybe got up and picked up his briefcase and said, you know, I believe we got it. We've got power to cast out devils. We've already been preaching. We've got the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I think we got it. And Peter said, hold on. We were told to wait until what? Until you're endued with power from on high. Well, I think that means this. I think that means that. And Peter said, oh, no. We got to take it back to Joel chapter 2. With other tongues and will I speak to this people, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and young men will dream dreams, old men will see visions, and so on and so forth. And we're going to wait. And they said, well, how do you know we don't already have it? Well, we'll know when it happens. Right? And the scripture said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that the pillar of fire came as licks or tongues of fire, dividing itself upon each and every one, right? And Brother Branham said that, you know, they were up there in that upper room, shaken, nervous, hiding out, if you will. But when the Spirit of God was poured out, when the promise came, that they began to mock the people that were observing it. They said, it looks like these people are drunk, and it's, you know, it's still morning. And they're drunk already. And Peter gets up and says, yeah, we're drunk all right, but not as you suppose. Right. And they're asking, well, what is this? And Peter's answer was, this is that. Right. This is what Jesus said would come. This is it. Right. This is what the prophet Joel was speaking of. Right. I'm it. Right. When you see what's taking place, the word is being made manifest. So now the light is shining forth. Because God is interpreting his word by bringing it to pass. When the word is manifested before you, that is light. Now there's no more now there's no more arguing over, at least amongst them, there's no more arguing over, well, what is it? You'll know it when it happens. And you'll say, this is that. And the church says. So, let's take another example. God's word says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yes, sir. Right? Isaiah said, by his stripes we were healed. Yes. Right? Well, God first proves it to us by bringing it to pass before our eyes in our day, proving it that it is his word, vindicating it to be the truth. That becomes light. That light comes across your path. And then he takes it a step further. Then he says, I'm talking to you, Brother Juan. I'm not just talking to anybody. I'm talking to you. And Brother Juan says, I believe you, Lord. By your stripes, I am healed. And then if Brother Juan has need of healing, he experiences that. And Brother Juan can say, this is that. It's no longer a mystery. It's been made known, and it's so simple. And then Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed to you. But the mystery preached is now being made known, and it has in it the power to establish you, as Brother Paul said. And that word establish, it means to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast. To fix, to set one's face steadfastly, to keep the face turned. Our hearts were turned. To strengthen, to make firm, to render constant, to confirm in one's mind. So there's a power, friends, in the revealed word. Oh, there's a power in the revealed word, listen to this, to make you come forth in the image of him. This is not something that you try to do. And if you try to do it, you will fail. But there's power in his word to make you come forth in that image. When Adam came forth in the image of God, he did nothing to come forth in the image of God. He was just born in the image of God. And when you're born again of the Spirit the second time, that image begins to come forth again. It begins to find its resting place in man once again. And that image begins to develop. It begins to come forth. And it doesn't come by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So there's power. We're not just hearing words. There's power in that revealed word to make you come forth in the image of Jesus Christ. So this is something that's far, far beyond any human ability. It is the Word of God made power in you and I. And it's not something that you can make happen on your own, no matter how sincere you might be. Remember, Peter was trying to tell the Lord, well, I won't do this. And the Lord said, yeah, you will. And Peter did something thinking it was right. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? You don't even know your own heart. Peter denied the Lord three times. Said he wasn't going to do it. And he was very sincere. He meant it. Right? But sincerity is not enough. Did you hear that, friends? You cannot make the Word come to life. You can't put life in the Word. You can't make the Word come into fulfillment. Well, I'm going to make this Word happen today. No, you're not. The Word quickened has the life. The Word quickened has the power. The Word quickened will bring forth what's in the Word. You just become, be it unto me. I believe you. Help my unbelief. Only believe. So the life and the power is in the Word to bring it to pass. Our part is to believe it, to accept it, and say, Lord, be it unto me. So when that light comes across our paths, well, then he begins to draw us to him by that light. That's why there must be, it must be preached, and there must be a manifestation. Friends, this is not just theoretical. This is not us just all coming together. Good point. You know, this isn't an auction, in other words. Who'll give me 50? Who'll give me 100? Right? Not just a little silent nod, right? This is the Word being preached. And when the Word is being preached, there's power and there's life that comes. There's life in it to change you. There's life in it to produce what you're hearing. We're not conforming to anything. We're being transformed. So we need that power of transformation in us. We need that power to strike us. We need it to settle us. We need it to establish us. And we need experience, excuse me, that conviction will bring in our lives. We can't change ourselves. You get convicted and you realize, I need to change. Okay, so I'll try and change. Well, that's good. That's nice. But you can't change yourself. Right? You're still the old person trying to do some better things. It's like, you know, washing a pig. A pig's still a pig. Doesn't matter what you dress it in. It doesn't matter how you decorate it. Put a bow around its neck. Put lipstick on it. Spray perfume on it if you will. It's still a pig. It needs to be transformed. So when we experience that conviction initially, we might not cry out for deliverance. Brother Bram said, I would have given my heart to the Lord sooner had there not been a spirit hanging over me saying, not now. Now, don't tell me you didn't do that. So we experience that conviction. And instead of saying, Lord, slay me, deliver me, we might first either try to change ourselves, or we might avoid church and avoid facing the convictions that are now down in our heart, right? Out of sight, out of mind. Maybe we think, well, you know, I need to bring this to a showdown, but not just yet. Maybe we might think, well, you know, there's no use in me even trying because I do this and I do that and I know I shouldn't. I know that it's not right, but I keep finding myself doing it. And I've tried this 10-step program and that 12-step program and I can't seem to shake this addiction. Whatever it might be. People think of addiction, they think, well, that's just drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or whatever. You can be addicted. There's all kinds of sin that you can be addicted to. You can have a shopping addiction. I see brothers get it every year. They get a new bow. They've had it, you know, they were so excited about it for the 10 days that they had it. And there's nothing better than that. Next season comes along, they got to get that new bow. Why don't you just get used to the one that you had? Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we're truly born again of the Spirit, friends, and we're baptized by His Spirit, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of light. And as we said here a few weeks ago, the reason why you're no longer afraid of the dark is simply because you're no longer in the dark. So it comes when you accept that He's going to change you and that He's going to birth you into the kingdom. You have to believe that. You repent of and ask Him to kill that old nature. And then birth inside of you a new nature. And you have no other sense at that time that will bear witness to this. In other words, it's not a mental desire. It's not a change of mind that's taking place. If it was a change of mind that took place, you'd have the five senses of your mind that maybe could witness to it. He does give you a new spirit at sanctification. In other words, you have new desires. But the new birth is not the birth of the new spirit. If it was, you would sense it in your mind. You would sense it in your conscience, in your reasoning, and so forth. So it's, and it's also not a change of your physical body. How many knows that's true? Because if it was, you would sense it by your five natural senses, and you'd be able to say, well, you know, I spoke in tongues, so that was the new birth, because I sensed that, right? That's not the new birth. No, you believe in your heart that He's going to do what He said He was going to do. And you truly repent with a sorrowful repentance. And you die out. You're baptized in Christian baptism. Now you believe in your heart that He's going to do what He said He would do. He gave you a promise. And your faith, that's the only sense that you have in your soul. Your faith in your soul declares, I believe on Him. I believe that He's my Savior. I believe that He's my sacrifice. I believe that He's my kinsman redeemer. I believe that He paid the price for my sin. I believe that He will quicken my soul if I commit myself into His hands. I believe that He will kill that old nature and quicken that gene seed that's down on the inside. And when it happens, you're going to have an experience as you're born anew. Oh, we want to take that out. We want to just you know, there's several quotes, and I don't have to even quote the message. The Bible's good enough. But Brother Branham was even asked in questions and answers, does everyone have to have an experience? Yes. You will experience His presence, and you will experience His love, and you will know in your soul that you have passed from death unto life. Amen. It will be Jesus Christ revealed to you personally. Amen. You will believe in your heart, I have passed from death unto life. I can no more go to hell than God can. Amen. I can no more die than God can die. Amen. I'm a new creation. Amen. And your soul cries out, Father, Father, I came from you. You are my Father. You are my origin. Hallelujah. You'll know. There'll be a satisfaction in your soul that you've been thirsting for. And it will be so simple. But it isn't something that you do. It's what He does. It's something that you believe And then you surrender to it, and then it happens. It's no different than healing. You won't get healed if you don't believe in it. You got to believe first. But then since you believed, you'll receive. And you'll be in expectation for it to happen. And when it happens, you'll know it. Well, hallelujah. So the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, it's no longer a mystery to you. There's no sensation in your soul. In your soul, you believe or you doubt. You're born again of the Spirit of God, you believe. You believe His Word. You won't deny His Word. You'll keep His Word. That's the only sense that you have in your soul. In other words, you'll know that you pass from death into life. You just know it. Don't stare at me tonight. Friends, we're not a Baptist church. I've been preaching this for 30 years. If the Lord tarries, I'll keep preaching it. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, he's trying to bring back 1906 Pentecost or the Pentecost of the organizations or this or that. I'm not trying to bring back anything. But you must be born again. You cannot perceive the kingdom or even know that the kingdom is here except you be born from above. The mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, it's no longer a mystery to you. You just know that you didn't know and now you know. Why? Because he revealed it to you. But to others that are not born again of the Spirit or are not born again yet, it's still a mystery. How can you know the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation if you haven't experienced it? And it must first be revealed to you before you can experience it. Well, I'm going to preach it anyhow. How about the body change? Is that going to be an experience or not? Or are you just going to, well, I'm just going to believe it. If you believe it, it'll happen. And you'll say, this is that. So if you have been quickened, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you can say tonight, this is that. So we're living in a day when God has made plain to us things that were written previously but were not made fully known, or they were made known but they were lost throughout the ages. And as I've said before, the things that are being made known to us, well, they're not difficult to understand. In fact, when God reveals it to you, you wonder, how is it that that could have been hidden in plain view? How is it that that is so simple? Why couldn't we see it? Because it wasn't revealed. God hiding himself and revealing himself in simplicity. So when the word is revealed, there's nothing mysterious about it. If it's still mysterious, it isn't revealed. If I tell you, you want to know a secret? And you say, yeah. And I share the secret with you. Is it still a secret? No, not to you. You know the secret. But since you aren't going to tell anybody else, because you said you weren't, to them it's a mystery. And they might try and guess. But to you, it's no longer a mystery. It's so simple. Oh, my. So what was previously a mystery to us is now made plain. In other words, we know what we're reading. The events of our day are made clear when the mystery of the word is made known to us. Modern events are made clear by prophecy. So in the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham preaches an entire message where he tells us, I am not going to make known to us the mysteries of these trumpets. And it's like, okay, then why are you preaching the Feast of the Trumpets in? Well, he was going to. He prepared for that service. But then the Holy Spirit showed him, this has already been made known in the series on the seven seals. And it's what was under the sixth seal. This has nothing to do with the Gentiles. But it is God dealing with Israel, causing Israel to return to her homeland, to her promised land, after he's turning from the Gentiles, so that he can then deal with them. So partway through that message, Brother Brown tells us that all of the mysteries pertaining to the Gentiles were made known to us under the seven seals. And when he preached, Sirs, Is This the Time, in December of 1962, he said, during this time, the time that was coming up, God would make known to us the entire mysteries of the Bible. Yes. Right? And we know that there are times and there are seasons for everything. And we know that we can't get ahead of God. And we know that we can't reveal the word. And we know that he's always right on time. Yes. So God reveals his word in season. And we are told that these things would be revealed under the ministry of the seventh angel of Revelation chapter 10. In fact, we'll just read that, Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So when this mystery is finished, it declares to us that there's no more mystery to this. Are you with me? It shouldn't still be a mystery when it's revealed to us. The mystery of his will for our lives, which is his word. It's no longer a mystery. We have his word. We know what he wants done with it. It's no longer something deep that cannot be understood by anyone. Oh, it's deep, but it's simple. What's so deep about it is how God could hide it and reveal it in simplicity. So to the believer, it's no longer something that needs to be debated or probed at. It's not something that only certain ones amongst us can get a hold of. And it's no longer mysterious to us. In fact, it's so simple that you think you ought to just go around and explain it to everybody. And then you find out, well, God's got to reveal it to them too. So the things that were previously hard to understand, they've been made, now been made known by the very same one who wrote that word along the way. It's plain, it's simple, and a fool could not err therein when it's revealed to you. So when Brother Branham preaches the Feast of the Trumpets, he refers to Matthew 13, and he lists some of the mysteries that have been declared in our day. Page 30, paragraph 5. He says, now, let's note a few of these mysteries. And if you want to, write them down. First, I'll take what Scofield said here in Matthew 13. If you want to type some of them down. If you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks some of the mysteries are. Now, in the 11th verse, he answered and said unto him, because it's given to you, his disciples, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. But to them it's not given, the mysteries. Here's the mystery. A mystery is scripture. It's a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but which a supernatural element still remains, despite the revelation. The greater mysteries, and the greater mysteries are. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. So he goes on to list about, just for the sake of time, he goes on to list about 10 or so of the mysteries that are no longer mysteries to us. You know, the mystery of no eternal hell, the mystery of serpent seed, the mystery of one God, not God in three persons, but God in three offices. And so just think about what's taken place in our day, friends. These mysteries, so there were all of these things. This was what the seventh angel messenger, he was sent to tie up the loose ends, which are these mysteries that were revealed. Right? But those truths had fallen by the wayside throughout the ages. So they're all brought back. He ties up the loose ends. He's not bringing something new, but he's revealing something that had already been revealed. And what was under those seven seals, that the seven thunders uttered that was written down in symbol form, but had not been revealed. So God is calling his people into his presence, and he's calling his people to gather around him and to gather in him. And this is a calling out age. Are you still with me? And in order to be gathered together in him, we first have to come out of the kingdom of darkness, whatever we're yoked to. We have to come out from amongst the dead religions of the world, because they have now put him on the outside in this last age. So to meet with him, it requires that we come out to where he is, that we come outside of the camp and we meet him at the gate. In order for the mysteries to be made known to us, there would have to be a supernatural power among us, because these things are divinely revealed. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And that power that must be among us, it calls us out of traditions. It calls us out of our own thinking. It calls us out of the things of this present kingdom. Friends, I have marveled for 30 years now how hard it is for people to let go of things. And I think, why can't you just let go? And I'm not, what I'm missing or what I was failing to realize is that it was supernatural that I was able to let go of those things. It took a power in order for me to be able to let go and be purged of those things, so that I could walk into the further truth, the present truth, the further light. So there had to be a power to call us out and to deliver us from these things. We're not just a bunch of better people, a bunch of stronger people. We're flesh and blood just like anybody else. We had ideas, thoughts. We were bound just like everybody else. We were in sins and trespasses as everyone else. Come on, church. There had to be a power that had to be released to pull us out, to not just call us out, but to bring us out and to set us free from another kingdom. So we find out it's not only a calling out age, but it's a time of revealing of the mysteries. But in order for them to be revealed to you, you have to come out. Because it's not being made known in the dead organizations. Why isn't it being made known? Because he's not there. Why isn't he there? They put him out. We're not putting them out. And we're not putting them out of organized religion. They are. So Brother Branham tells us that it's actually the revealing of those mysteries that's calling us out. That's why we're going to spend time on these. That's why we're going to go into some things that are just, I'm chomping at the bit to preach, but it's the icing. I got to get all this other stuff out of the way first. The preaching of the mysteries, the revealing of the mysteries, gives you power. There's power in the revealing of the mysteries. Just as there was power, friends, they knew the mysteries when the Son of Man preached them, when Paul established them, before the first church fell, before the Ephesian age, they had the perfect word. And they had power to walk in it. They were rapture ready. They were standing at the door. And they were saying, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not hinder those that are asleep. They were expecting the coming of the Lord to come at any day. They were looking right. There was nothing hindering them. There was nothing hindering the coming of the Lord. In other words, it wasn't because of unbelief. That began to start. I have somewhat against thee. That began to get heaped up over the ages. Of course, he wasn't going to. Well, he's been coming for 2,000 years. He's been in the process. But there were other names that had to come forth. And those names have been coming forth. And the last ones are coming in, even as we speak. Amen. But they were ready. And our hearts are being turned back to the very same faith that they had. Paul preached the mysteries. He didn't preach the seven thunders, but he preached the mysteries. The loose ends that have been tied up in this age. He preached one God. He preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He preached no eternal hell. He preached God is one. He preached baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. And who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram says, then after you recognized the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing. You know what? There's nothing that gives me a greater thrill other than my own quickening. There's nothing that gives me a greater thrill than to see that light turn on. You know, all of us, you're going to see it at different times. I'm sorry, Brother Joel, to use you as an example. I didn't do anything, but I witnessed the light when it came on. I didn't put a hunger, I didn't say, how about this? Or let me share this with you. I've shared my testimony about that before, and I don't want to go on too much about it, but this is my testimony. I had been sharing every bit of truth. You know, the devil said, don't let your light be hidden, right? Just tell people what you believe. Well, no, that's not what you do. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine because they'll render them, right? So, you know, well, I got to tell them about this and I got to tell them about that. Well, you do, and then they walk the other way. And I had shared what I believed with every nominal anybody that would listen. And I got every kind of reaction except the one I was expecting. And I got discouraged. And I thought, you know what? And I thought I was being a brat. I really did. But I said, Lord, if you want me to tell this to anybody else, you're going to have to make them ask. Guess what? That's how he works. You just be a billboard, and if they're thirsty, they'll draw it out of you. Right? You throw some bait out there. You start discussing this or that. If they don't bite, leave it alone. I mean, you learn that from fishing. Those of us that have fished, I don't care. I think I shared with you before that I went to one of these lakes. I think it was Saguaro Lake. Is that the one? It's one of the lakes in the Colorado River chain. And so it's after the dam there's Lake Mead, and then there's a dam, and then the water comes out from the bottom of the dam. It's cold, it's clear, it's fresh, And I remember thinking, oh, man, I'm just going to rake these fish in because I'll actually be able to see them, right? And so I thought, you know what, Brother Eddie, I'm just going to toss this thing down. I'm going to put it right in front of that fish, and I'm just going to catch them left and right. And I was shocked to toss things in front of them, and they went. So I tried this, and I tried that, which is what you do anyway, except you can't see what you're throwing it in front of necessarily. But you try different things until they bite, right? And guess what? If they're not hungry, they're not going to bite. But here I thought, if I could just see them, I'll be able to pull them in. Not if they're not hungry, you won't. And not if you're not putting before them what they're hungry for. Oh, it's a powerful lesson, friends. Brother Joel was just... We went on a business trip together, and we just started talking about different things, and somehow we got on serpent seed, and I thought, oh, man, I did it there. We were on a shuttle bus to either go to the rental car, or it was something like that. We were in the San Jose, in the Bay Area, and I can remember Brother Joel saying, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I don't have a problem with that, and I'm like, man. But he was searching, looking. Then he said, you know, this book of Revelation, seems like we ought to be able to understand it. Know any books on that? He'd been already looking into things himself. And I shared the church age book with him. Then he didn't say anything for about a week, but he was still nice. He was, you know, real polite. And he didn't go the other direction. And I thought, Lord, not only is this brother precious, but he's a friend. You give me a friend. We've got a lot in common. We're co-workers and all that. And, you know, could he at least still be my friend? Not like all these other ones that go the other direction. And I was just tore up. And I was afraid to bring it up. I was afraid to say anything. Because I thought, well, if he doesn't believe it, he's going to tell me he doesn't. And that's going to be that, you know. But I think it was about a week later or so, and I brought it up. I said, so you've been reading that book? Yeah. He says, you know what, Brother Doug? He says, there's some things in there that are pretty hard. He says, but they sound right. And they're answering questions that I've had, you know. And I'm watching that light turn on, you know. You can't make that happen. God has to do that. And there has to be a hunger and a thirst down on the heart, on the inside. It's God fulfilling his word. It's God drawing his own. Amen? He uses us, each and every one of us, right? But it's his seed. And he knows where they're at and who they are. And he draws. Then after recognizing the very word of God was eagle food, you left the other thing. It didn't take long. Brother Joel left the Lutheran church. He tried to convert him first. You left the other thing. You have then been formed into the living image of the living God. Now, what did you have to do with that? You recognized eagle food. You left the other thing. That's the only thing you did. You came out. Come out of her, my people. You left the other thing. You have then been formed into the living image of the living God. The power to transform. The power is in this word. It's in this revelation, in this light that comes across your path. You heard from your theophany. Friends, that's what's telling you. Believe that. And you think, I don't know how it is that I know it, but I know it now. I don't know how it is that I could say amen to that. People get on me all the time. Well, I like to know what I'm saying amen to. And I'm like, I'm sorry that you're a slow student. Because I know what I'm saying amen to. I don't just shout amen to say amen and then say, oh, well, you know, I shouldn't have said amen to that. On second thought, I was just enthused. It strikes your heart. It stimulates. I was afraid to say, as a Baptist, I never said amen. And I was afraid, actually, to say, that's it, that's the truth, because I didn't know what the truth was. Everybody had a different explanation for what it was. I didn't have something down on the inside that said, yeah, that's right. I had, yeah, that sounds right. Till you get around somebody else. They explain it a little different. But when he reveals it to you, you're not afraid to say amen because you know it's true. How do you know it's true? Because he revealed it to you. And the church says, amen. Hallelujah. You heard from your theophany. If this earthly body be dissolved, we have one waiting. So when you truly hear the revealed word of your day, you are hearing by a supernatural power. I want you to get this tonight. You're not just hearing with your ear. You're hearing by a supernatural power. And that supernatural power is calling you. No man can come except my Father first draw him. And all that the Father has given, they'll come. I won't lose a single one. So to somebody sitting right beside you, don't look right next to you. But to somebody sitting right beside you, they think, ah, this is just another long Wednesday night service. It's just another whatever. These are just riddles and parables and mysteries. It's just, you know, head knowledge, right? But to you, there's a power. Right. That's why you sense that stimulation that comes with the revelation. There's something in you that can't be quiet. There's something in you that's excited because you're hearing there's a power. That's why it stimulates. There's a power that's coming. And that power is changing you. And that power is bringing you to a rapture. Friends, I'm sorry that you come to church and you just think this is a church service and you come with bad ideas and attitudes and all that. I'm sorry you're missing what's happening. There's a power. We've let it become too common. There's a power. There's a power that's coming when the word is being revealed to you. And you can't stop it. So when you truly hear the revealed word, you are hearing by a supernatural power, and it's calling you out. I don't have to take you to the book of Revelation where he tells you, come out of her, my people. You're hearing it. He's telling you that. Come out of that. And they'll say to you, well, Brother Joel, isn't the Lutheran church, why do you drive an hour to church? Or whatever it is. Is it an hour? Maybe more than that. Yeah. There's a church 5 minutes from you. Why do you drive an hour? Well, because the Sunday school teacher still smokes a pipe and drinks beer. He has no power. But when I drive across town, there's a power. In fact, I don't know. All I can say is something is drawing me. There's a power that's causing me to commute to church. There's a power that won't let me stay home. There's a power that won't let me quit. Oh, hallelujah. A voice has called you out. And you have followed that voice. And it led you to the revealed word. And you've heard from a supernatural power. A voice is calling to you. You've heard from your theophany. And your theophany knows the mysteries. And your theophany believes the word. And when you hear it, your theophany grabs your arm and throws it up and says, believe that. Amen. Explain that to somebody. You can't. Well, don't shout any higher than you can live. I never do. I'm not just shouting to it. It's changing me. From glory to glory, it's changing me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The seed inside of you is a part of the word. And it's hearing from the word. Two omnipotents are meeting. If you can handle that tonight. It's supernatural. Listen close now, friends. Your theophany has a stronger pull on you than tradition does. That's shouting material. And that's why you don't struggle with Christmas trees. That's why you don't struggle with Halloween. That's why you don't struggle with Easter bunnies. That's why you don't struggle with church traditions. That's why you don't struggle with three gods versus one God. That's why you don't struggle with the book is open. Because your theophany has a stronger pull on you than your natural family does. Nothing wrong with your natural family, but your theophany has a stronger pull. Your theophany has a stronger pull on you than the churches of this world do. Your theophany has a stronger pull on you than your ideas. Your theophany has a stronger pull on you than cigarettes or alcohol or pornography or anything from this world. Your theophany has pulled you by the revealing of the word, has pulled you from all of these other things that we were all a part of has pulled you from that into his presence. You have now come into his presence, and your theophany has brought you there. And one day you will just blend with that. You'll just step out of this into that. Right now, it's right with you. We have an angel. Be careful how you treat one of these little ones, for their angel doth always behold the face of their father. What angel do you have? You. Your theophany. Your spirit body. It's watching over you. There's a supernatural power that's pulling on you tonight. There's a supernatural power that's keeping you. When you thought you were going to lose your mind and you couldn't take one more moment, something took you. Something keeps holding you. When you were ready to quit, and I don't mean you thought about it, you were ready to quit. You actually tried to quit. Something keeps holding you. Something pulled you. When you were ready to go back, something kept you. When you developed the complex, something pulled you out of it. Come on, church. There has to be a greater power pulling on you. We know the world had a pull on us. There has to be something else to have a pull on us. How can we come out of that unless something's pulling us? But you got to surrender to it. So no matter what you've been through up until that time, up until now, this word has a stronger pull on you than anything has ever had on you in your entire life. The church that maybe you came out of might have had a pull on you, good or bad, but this has a greater pull on you. And that can never pull you back. Right, Brother Alvaro? It can never pull you back. You're free. Something's got a hold of your life, and it won't let you go. And it's taking you to a rapture. You're in the rapture cycle now. It's taking you to a rapture. It's taking you into your promised land. It's taking you into the fullness of the word. This is not random, and it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Something has a hold of you tonight. There's a power that brought you to church tonight. You might have thought, you know what, I'm probably not going to get anything out of it, but there's a power that brought you here anyway. Glory to God. This power is stronger than gravity. How do I know that? Because you're gonna defy gravity one of these days. Amen. And it's going to be that same power that's down on the inside of you that's going to do that. It's going to break the gravitation. It's going to break all the laws of this dimension. Because it's greater than that. It's a greater power than what's in this dimension. Oh, glory to God. God has made sure that this third pull will have a stronger pull on you than any other power that you've ever come in contact with before. Now, come on, friends. Amen. Remember the pull to go to the carnival? For us older people. The pull to go to a movie theater. The pull to drag race your car. The pull to shop till you drop. The pull of a boy or a girl. The pull. Everything has a pull. But there's no power greater than this power that's pulling on you tonight. It's pulling you to a body change. It's keeping you. Yes, sir. You know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is? It's you coming to you. That little lick of fire, who do you think that is? Oh, that's Christ. Yeah. You were in him. You were in him. He divided himself. You came out of him. And you're still in him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see how sure this is? God has made sure, friends, that the revealing of these hidden mysteries would have a greater pull on you than any other force you've ever come in contact with. And because of that, revelation means more to you than any other power. Something keeps pulling on you. Something keeps holding you. You have a down payment. You're waiting on the fullness, but right now you've got enough to take you through. Something's got a hold of your life, and it won't let you go. Something is supernaturally pulling you out of every other thing that ever had a hold of you. Amen. And it's calling you into his presence. Enoch. It's calling you out of your walk in this world into your walk with him. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And nothing, there's no power that can keep you from that. Friends, we're not gathered here tonight under a first pull, as wonderful as it was and necessary. We're not gathered here tonight under a second pull, but we are under the influence of the power of the third pull here tonight. And the third pull is the opening of the word, the revealing of the word, and it has such a pull on you that you can't get away from it. Let's use some science fiction terminology. It's a tractor beam. You got caught by that beam. And you're trying to turn up the dilithium crystals. Beam us out of here, Scotty. I done you think I can, Captain. Scotty, now would be a good time. My God, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a scientist. I can't do this. Scotty, we got to pull out of this power. Where do you think that inspiration came from? Where do you think Star Wars came from? Stars, sons of God, that are shouting for joy. Brother Bram said, why did they shout for joy? You didn't shout for joy before the foundation of the world. Scripture says, sons of God that shouted for joy, right? You didn't shout for joy before the foundation of the world. You were in his thinking, and God saw you in your day when the word was made known to you, shouting for joy. The morning stars sang and the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? That's this day. You found your name in the book. You saw yourself in the volume of the book. Lucifer said, I'll get these stars of God to worship me. He never has. He never will. You will not bow to him. You will not worship him. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Don't. There's a supernatural power that's among us. I know we don't look any different. I know that 8 months ago I had a belly. And you could look at me and say, well, he ain't too spiritual. Look at that tub he's carrying around. You can't tell by looking at the package. Although it looks pretty good, don't it? That ain't going to get me in. It ain't going to keep me out. You can't look at the package. We don't look any different. We might look a little, we might look more wholesome, or we might dress different, right? But we don't, as far as humanness goes, you can't tell. But there's a power that's got a hold of you tonight. There's a power that's keeping you from falling. There's a power that's causing you to overcome. There's a power that's changing you. There's a power that causes you to come to church. There's a power that causes you to pray. There's a power that causes you to commune with Him. There's a power that's changing you from glory to glory. There's a power that's saying, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a Christian. There's a power that says, I'm not depressed. What do I have to be depressed for? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm living in the golden age. I'm heaven bound. So you are drawn to this revealed word like you've never been drawn to anything else in your life, including your mate. And that's no detriment to your mate. Brother Brown said the best gift that God gave you, aside from Himself, is your mate. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you can go to heaven without ever meeting your mate. But you can't go to heaven without meeting Him. Your mate won't put you in or keep you out. Thank God for our mates, but our greatest gift is Him. And it's a supernatural power. I want somebody to say that tonight. Supernatural power. Now let's here's a stretch exercise for you. There's a supernatural power that's working on me. Okay, but you didn't say it. Some of you did, some said yes. Thank you for saying amen, but I don't want to say it. I want you to say it. There's a supernatural power that's working on me. A supernatural power brought me to church tonight. I didn't want to forgive this person, but a supernatural power caused me to get on my knees. It took my skin off, but I feel so much better. I'm so glad. And if it hadn't have been for that supernatural power, I wouldn't have done it. Because I'm no different in the humanness as anybody else. But there's a supernatural power that won't let me live the way I used to live. Won't let me act the way I used to act. It's keeping me. Tarry there until you are endued with from on high. I know this is simple, but it's so simple that it's probably going over the top of our head a lot of times. We let this life become too natural. It's supernatural. Everything about your life is supernatural. God knew every choice that you're going to make. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. And He said, this is how you're going to come forth. This is your end result. And then He worked out, He wrote the play out, knowing the choices that you would make. Knowing that you're going to make some wrong choices. And He takes those things and works them around to work for your good. Oh, that don't mean that you aren't going to end up with a few knots in your head, not head. You will. But it's not going to keep you from your destination. Come on, church. We're not playing church. We didn't just leave organized religion to go follow some fanatical thing. We found life. Something's holding me. So you were drawn. I'm pulling over here in just a minute. You were drawn to this revealed word like you've never been drawn to anything else. You tried to be a Hare Krishna. You tried to be a Buddhist. Didn't work. Why? Something had a hold of you. Even before you were converted, something said, nah. Got higher thoughts for you than that. This is not for you. In other words, a supernatural element remained despite the revelation. And that supernatural element is the power of the third pole that's in your soul this evening. Christ, the revealed word in your soul. I'm not keeping myself. He is. You say you're not going to fall. He won't let me. Too late. I can't go back. I can't go back to the world. If I won't serve him, he'll take me off the scene. I can't go back. It's calling you. Let's take it a step further. Let's make it a little bit more sure tonight. It's commanding you. Amen. You don't even have a choice now. What about my free will? You gave it up.
Amen.
You sure you want to be married to Christ? You sure till death do us part? You sure what's mine is yours? Your people will be my people. Your ways will be my ways. Are you sure you want to do this? Because once he puts that wedding band of unmerited favor on your finger, once he gives you that wedding garment, once you say, I do, there's no going back. Now you're not your own. You're his. So you should, friends, there should be a greater peace than what we have right now. And it's just, it needs to be preached. We need to hear it, all of us. There's a season for it. But there should be a greater peace because there's a power that's in you. The reason why we don't have the greater peace is because a lot of times we're still trying to do things. Even though you're born again of the Spirit of God, you've surrendered, you're still trying to do things instead of letting go and letting God. Didn't we hear that this weekend? We've been preaching on it. It got touched on again this weekend. What do I got to do? It's actually the opposite. It's what you need to stop doing. You need to let go and let God. There's a power that's working on you. How could he say, Father, I thank you. All that you give me will come. I won't lose any. How could he say that? Because he won't lose any. So it's not you, it's him. But it's you letting go and letting God. I'm so worried. Can't you let go of that, please? Oh, but it's so real. I know. Been there, done that. These are the tests and the trials and the temptations. But is God bigger than whatever you're worried about? Of course he is. How am I going to get through this? He's going to take you through it. You want to see the supernatural? Surrender. What are we waiting for? You, me. Trying to pull over. It's calling you. It's commanding you. It's calling you to an entrance that has been ministered to you. Peter said so. We're ministering unto you an entrance into his kingdom. It's saying to you, come up higher. Into the perfect word. Not partial word, the perfect word. It has called you to come out. It has called you to come and die. It's called you to come in. It's called you, come up a little higher. Yeah. My theophany, I hear it. Yeah. It's calling me. Amen. What's it saying? Come up. Amen. Come out. Amen. Come in. Amen. It's calling me to step into his perfect word. Right. It's calling me into his presence. Amen. In the presence of Jehovah. God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Hearts are mended. Amen. It's calling me to a new body. I'm coming. God has no higher order than a prophet. And he sent us a prophet, the type of which we haven't seen for 2,000 years. That in and of itself is a greater sign to us. So just think about that for a moment. God sent a gift to us in this age, and it's greater than the gift that Billy Graham had. It's greater than an Oral Roberts. It's greater than a Rick Warren. It's greater than a Joel Osteen. What was the purpose of sending us this gift? Because God's established order is that in order to reveal or make something known, he first sends a prophetic gift. Yes. Amen. Amos 3:7. He'll do nothing except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Yes. So this revelation that he sent us in this last day, it's what literally starts the rapturing faith in the believer. Amen. Yeah, it's hearing the word. And this is the force. This is the pull. It drops a bomb in your life. And it destroys every other power. It breaks every tie. It breaks every bond. Anything that had a hold on you. Any claim that was on you has been annihilated. That bond has been broken. This light that has come, it's greater than UV light. If you're not familiar with that, ultraviolet, they say, you know, take this ultraviolet light, put it on here. It'll kill COVID, it'll kill this, it'll kill that. This light will kill sin. It'll break every power, every hold. Depression, it'll break that. It'll break anything. If you'll let it. And the purpose, friends, is so that the word made power in this generation would possess our very souls. And this is how he gained supreme authority over every member of the body in this hour. And it is this supreme power that is the word made power. And that's what's controlling our lives tonight. That's what's controlling our actions. That's what's controlling our desires. And it will ultimately rearrange our molecules. Amen. It'll ultimately call dust out of this earth to unite with us. That's a power. And the word preached is power. That's why we don't forsake the gathering in this last time, even the more so as the day approaches, because there's power being released every time we come together. Listen, friends, I am pulling over here in just a minute. God is creating a bride body by the preached word of this generation. You say, well, no, I was already, you know, he's not creating me. I always was a son or daughter of God. I didn't say he's creating sons and daughters of God. I said he's creating a bride body. And that bride body is his sons and daughters of God coming together to form a body, a mystical body, that he has control over. And he's creating it. And it will do all that he said that it would do. We have an on-time God tonight. How many believes that? And he's on time for an on-time bride. She's on time too. So there are things that have come in this day that we are pressing into, and many don't even realize that they're even opened. But we not only can go into these things, but we've been told to go in. So I want to talk about these mysteries for just a moment. We'll pull over. What makes things qualify to be called a mystery? A mystery is simply something that has not previously been made known, or was known, and the understanding was lost. So what gives us so much confidence here tonight, friends, is that we are not being called to follow some other book. Do you realize how precious that is tonight? We weren't given a new book. The book that we had just became a new book. Because we weren't reading it right. What is being made known is what has already been spoken out of the mouths of his prophets. But when the prophets spoke, and what was spoken was then committed to paper, something else remained to take place in order for us to understand what was being said. In other words, the printed word is not the revelation. Now, let me just go out on a limb. Listening to the tapes alone is not the revelation. You have to have something in you to reveal it to you. Otherwise, everybody that's listening to the tapes, why don't we all believe the same thing? Because we're not all hearing the same voice. And yet we're hearing the same voice. No, we're not. So it shows the voice is not the tape. The voice is in here. It had to come through that channel. We're not backing off to that for a moment. It had to come through that channel. But once it's made known, so God was speaking to us on the printed page, but it might as well have been thunder because we couldn't make out the meaning of what was being said. But in the right season, the same one that spoke through the prophets comes and calls us into his presence and speaks to us plainly what he's already spoken. But the supernatural element no longer is missing. So it's not complicated. It just can't be revealed until he chooses to reveal it to you. And when he reveals it to you, there's a power to bring it into manifestation. It can't be manifested until it's first revealed. In unveiling it, the power's released to bring it into being. It's a mystery to us because God has been silent about it until now. It couldn't be understood until it was plainly spoken. So in order for it to be plainly spoken, we needed a seer to come and tell us what he saw. We needed a witness to look upon the scene and tell us what took place. We needed a seer to say, Zacchaeus went up this sycamore tree. He pulled a garbage can over there, climbed up. He described it to us. We needed a seer to say, I saw Adam put his arm around Eve, and their countenance was down. And they're walking out of the garden, choosing to die. We needed a seer to say God looked upon it and God was moved. And God said, I'll do this very same thing 4,000 years later. We needed that vision that comes through the eyes of the prophet in order for it to be revealed to us. Otherwise, I think it's this, I think it's that, Methodists think this, Baptists think this, Presbyterian. It's left up to everybody's thinking. The word came to the prophets by vision. Everything that's written in the word that came to the prophets was by vision. So it would take that same vision to take that same word to tell us what the guy that wrote it, to begin with, he saw a vision. So God had to show another prophet that same vision. Oh, what a blessed people we are. We needed a witness to look upon the scene and tell us what took place. We needed an eyewitness. We didn't need second or third hand anymore. So once a mystery is brought into plain view, no fear tactic can work on us any longer. Aren't you afraid to come out from under headship, Brother Joel? Aren't you afraid? You know, you're no longer under the headship of... What headship are you under? You know, like Lutheran's headship, right? Aren't you afraid to come out from under that? No, actually, I'm not. But I actually am under headship. I'm under the headship of the Word. So as long as God was silent about the interpretation of His Word, there was room for traditions. And there was room for teachings, and there was room for interpretations of man. But once He comes and makes known to us what He meant by what He said, then those other things have no more place in our lives. That's what's different. How do you know this is true? Because you're seeing through the eyes of a prophet. Do you realize you're seeing what prophets longed to see but didn't see? He told us what He saw. And if He can get you to believe Him, nothing will stand before the prayers. Are you with me tonight? So because of that tonight, friends, we can no longer be captivated or controlled by the systems of men any longer. And it goes without saying, Sister Irene, devil, we're through. You can tempt me. You can, I can be not prayed up and I fall into a little trap, but I'm going to get it right. I will. I'll make it right. And it'll cause me to pray before the next time. But devil, you don't own me. I don't own you. I didn't come from you. I have no part in you. You have no part in me. Listen to this. I've got all these other things, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to read this one, okay? Questions and answers. 1 Corinthians 13 says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. And we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine interpretation, divine vindication. Then that which is in part is done away with. We had a partial understanding of the Word. That partial understanding is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. We don't have childish understanding of the Word any longer. We put those things away. We come across we're two-thirds of the way to the River Jordan. We come into that land, but we had to first be purged of all our old ideas and partial truths. We now can be settled. We now can be established by the present revealed truth. And the revelation of the mystery settles it in our hearts. And its power to live. Power to live what? What's already been spoken concerning us. Let's stand tonight. The Word has made power in our lives, friends. And it has supreme control over the body. You say, I can't help it. Well, just let go and let Him help it. Let go and let God. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, nothing of this life can hold you back. Nothing of this life can keep you out of that rapture. Nothing of this life can keep you from fulfilling the word that's been spoken concerning you. The prophecies that have been spoken that this end time church will fulfill. Nothing's going to keep you from it. You say, well, I'm not very strong. Good. You're the best candidate God has. Because His strength is made perfect through your weakness. Let go and let God. Nothing can keep us from our destiny. Nothing can keep us. Don't fear not, friends. Now, if you haven't let go and let God, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, well, you ought to be a little nervous tonight. But if you have, He started this work and He's going to finish it. And there's power in what we believe tonight. There's power in the revealed word. And it is changing you. And it is keeping you. Think about it for just a moment, friends. How did you hold out this long? Why haven't you fallen away? Why aren't you saying, well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe that, and I used to believe this, but I don't believe that now. I want to go back like a dog to its vomit. Why aren't you doing that? You can't. So I'm emphasizing one part of it. You don't want to, right? And that's what we talk about all the time. You don't want to, you don't want to, you don't want to. But I want you to see the other side of it. You can't. You're a prisoner. You say, well, I got a choice. You made your choice. You gave yourself to Him. Now it's not your life anymore. It's His. You're not your own. You belong to Him. And He's taking you and molding you and shaping you and uniting with you. And His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. You are fulfilling the word for this hour. And you didn't stay up all night studying to say, okay, what do I got to fulfill next? You're just hearing the word, surrendering, and the word is doing the work. You don't even have to be conscious of it. Just surrendered to it. The word is being made power. We didn't see a lot of power. There was power. The Holy Ghost was in the church throughout the ages. But we didn't see power like the early church throughout the ages because we didn't have the word. But now we have the word, and in the word is power. A partial word does not have that power. But this full restored word, there's power in it tonight, friends. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The revelation of the mystery. We'll pick up on this again. Something keeps holding me. Let's bow our heads, Father. Help us, Lord, as we embark into this new year. Lord, as we're looking in these things, I believe, Lord, that there's a time and a season for everything. And I believe You're taking us into, taking us a little higher. Perhaps we're not hearing anything we haven't heard before. I hope that's true. But there's a point where we're not just hearing it. Logos, but it's Rhema. It's revealed word to us. It's not just a quote, but it's You quickening it. It's You bringing the inspiration. It's You bringing the revelation. And we know that that revelation brings power. And we know that power transforms, changes, overcomes. Lord, when we're saying it on this side, but when we get to the other side, there won't be a one of us that said, well, because I did this or I did that, or because I didn't do this or I didn't do that. No, it's You. It's You all the way. We're overcoming by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And that word is power. Every head bowed, every eye closed, whether you're in the building, whether you're listening in tonight, or you will be listening in, I wonder how many want to lift their hand and say, Lord, help me to just believe You that much more. Help me to surrender. Lord, this is a nervous hour. It's a men's hearts are failing for fear, but You have a cure to that. Your children's hearts are not failing for fear. Your children are not nervous. You prepared a special place of peace and rest in this hour. A place to stand, a revelation, a rock by your side, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Maybe tonight you've been worried about this and worried about that and fearful of this and fearful of that. But maybe tonight you want to just say, Lord, I believe, I trust you. You've started this work. I know that I'm your child. I know that I came from you. I know that you promised me that you started this work. You put a seal on my life. You guaranteed me that that seal was to the day of my redemption, that nothing could break that seal. The work that you've started, you're going to finish it. You've got an answer to every trial, everything that I face in this life. You have an answer to it, a solution. And Lord, I just want to surrender that much more. Rather than becoming fearful, rather than becoming anxious or worried, rather than stressing, Lord, I want to just stop and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. Let your word become power. Lord, minister to me what I have need of. And your word is power. It'll produce what I have need of. I surrender. I believe you. I trust you, Lord. I can't see maybe a few feet in front of me, but I don't need to. You are a light unto my feet, a lamp on my path. And Lord, I don't need to see what's over the other hill. I just know that I'm walking in the light as you are in the light. And because of that, I'm confident, Lord, that I have salvation and deliverance and peace, that I have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another, and that the blood of Jesus frees me from all sin. Lord, I don't want to miss this opportunity to have this peace that you've granted for me, to have this rest, this confidence in you. It's not cockiness, and it's not hope, but it's confidence. And Lord, as we surrender more and more, we see that power, that word becoming power and giving, causing testimonies in our lives. And it's you each and every step of the way. So if that's you tonight, you want to just slip your hand up and say, Lord, I just want to surrender that much more. Trust you, believe you. Recognize that there's a power that's got a hold of me tonight, and it won't let go. There's a force that's got a hold of my life. It's set me free. It's broke every barrier, every bond. It's busted any hold, any claim that the enemy might have had, anything to add a hold of my life. You've set me free from it, and I accept that tonight, Lord. And I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to trust, Lord, that you're keeping me by the, as reads in the King James, by the word of your power, but as our prophet said, the actual interpretation is by the power of your word. You're keeping us by the power of your word. If that's you, just lift your hand to him. Lord, just bless those hands in the building, Lord, and in the homes, wherever they might be. Father, we love you. We thank you. We know that it won't be by our might or by our power, but by your spirit. There's a power that's changing us. It's molding us. It's keeping us. You are having the preeminence in a body. And Lord, everything will be fulfilled. Everything that you said would happen will happen. And this bride will not fall. This bride body will not be deceived. This bride body will not go into the ground, but will go into the heavens. Will not be bound by death, but will bring forth a resurrection. We believe that tonight, Lord. Father, I just pray that as we move into this new year, Lord, higher and higher, onward and upward. Lord, we're not looking for a new revelation. We're looking for the word that has already been brought forth in this hour to become real, to become power in our lives. And we're trusting in you. So, Lord, as we surrender, we invite you tonight, Lord. We invite you to have preeminence. We invite you to take full control. And, Lord, we expect for this to take us to a body change. And we expect to meet you in the air. We believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And we thank you for it tonight, Lord. We love you and we give you the praise and honor and glory. Lord, each and every one of us, let us be salty. Let us be lights, Lord, burning up on a hill. Lord, help us to have the maturity and the understanding to realize we just need to be billboards ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. Lord, to constantly, Lord, to share as we get into conversations and situations where we can find common ground to try to bring you into the picture. And Lord, we have the confidence that if there's something there to respond, it will. And Lord, that's how you minister. That's how you bring in your children. We believe that. We trust in it. And we surrender to it tonight, Lord. And it'll be you drawing your children to yourself. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. The trials of this world, we're getting closer. And the pull I felt, it's more than I could bear. I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Satan laid before me this temptation of his desire to steal away my faith. Amen. But I have found inside the revelation. Yes, the strength I need to keep me.